We got it to work, but no one's talking. You can pause it.
Good morning. That do?
Yeah.
It is strong.
Oh, Joe.
Joke.
Ah,
it's Chedesh Dor. We used to do that in the good old days, no? Okay. Rav Nachum, Mechubad. That's a good Ador joke.
I didn't prepare one.
Well. We've mentioned a number of times, especially those who come to our parasha share, that sometimes we look for skulos. We call the amskula. We like to look for all different skulos, and sometimes we overlook the most important of them all. In fact, just yesterday I was learning with my chavrusa, the Bernard Bloch. We're learning the halachas of Birkas Hamozen. Mr. Brewer quotes in the name of the Sefer HaChinuch that if somebody says Birkas Hamozen deliberately and slowly and is careful to say it, Mub Tachloi, he's guaranteed parnasa for the year. Sefer HaChinuch, as quoted by the Mishnah Berurah. A guarantee. A guarantee from the Mishnah Berurah. So what more do you need? So we have these skulos, as it were, brought by Rabbi Yisenu, Harishonim, and Gedolei HaPoskim. We don't really, therefore, need to look further. We don't need to look further. And sometimes we do look further for all the fancy schmancy stuff. Do this, and do that, and do that. Sometimes there's a simple, basic skulos. There's the chus of davening, there's the chus of tefillah. Those are really back to basics, to the most precious of them all. So why am I mentioning this? Because, actually, my name is Tata Dishmai. The fellow who you just saw walk in is a member of our kin. And that's what I want to mention to you now. It's a chizuk, because it was a chizuk to me. And you might have noticed he's been here in the mornings recently. Reb Nachum, anachnu medabrim alecha. Do you speak English? Do you speak
English?
Kodem kol, zeh Reb Nachum Hoffa, echad mehakila. Efshar, everyone can wish him mazel tov. His daughter just got engaged. His bat, Baruch Hashem. Medabrim alecha. איך שחיזקת אותי ביום חמישי.
Doesn't look old enough.
הוא אמר, אתה לא נראה מספיק מבוגר. הוא צעיר באמת. זיין, ברוך השם. אבל רב נוחם חיזק אותי. מותר לפרסם את זה בשמך? ממש, ממש חיזק אותי. רב נוחם, אחד מעמודי הקהילה שלנו, זה למרות, to join the morning seder. At the moment he doesn't have work. He's also just got engaged. He told me last week, since joining the Koilo a month ago, he and his family have been zeicher to all types of yeshuas. Kacha ze, kacha, adkan. Ze chizek oti, ani lo yachol agil lecha kamo ze chizek oti yomach. Omnam sheze lemet, dvarim pshutim, it's pashut. We know there's no skula katera. So I was just reading from the Siddur. What do we say on Simchas Torah? You know the song that they always sing. Everyone knows. You have to think of the words. Ein skula katera. Ein oiskeo ki Yisrael. Nachmu chapsim kol minei skulot, yafot, v'tavot. Ein skula katera. Ein skula katera. Mishu mitchazek. Torah, or there could be somebody who will tell you that I can't learn the whole morning seder. Why? Either physically, ani lo yachol, or I'm too busy. So what does that mean? So he can't be zeicher to this? Of course he can. We know we have a yisocha, we have a zvulun, or limud Torah, or hachzakas Torah. Sunday morning, I went to Matzah's Yom Rishon Mabokim. One of the Bnei Akehila. Somebody in English? One of the Bnei Akehila came with us to Afia's Matzah's. And I don't know why he approached me, Moshe, in the middle. He said, I just want to tell you something. He said, I only bayot the Parnasa. He has difficulties in Parnasa. He doesn't have a fixed income. He does work, he does jobs for people, plumbing and shiputzim, so that he's very much dependent on if he gets work, he has Parnasa, if not, then not. And he had a bit of a difficulty, kshayim the Parnasa. He says to me, he says, in the last few weeks, he says to me, you've been saying in the droshes on Shabbos and Friday night, Shinyan, Yitchazek, Velimutayo, Zemevistia to Dishmaya. Kacha, Zaya, Anosesha, Ibarno, Allah, there. We've been speaking about Limutayo a lot this winter as well. So he said, I decided because of your drosha, I'm joining the night seder here. We have a night seder here. It's not a kodel, we don't pay. Balabatif, now a killer, come and learn. He said, I decided I'm joining your night seder. So like an hour and a quarter. So I joined the night seder. The next day, someone called me out with a job parnasa for 3 months. The next day, it's boduk umanusa. Rabbi say it's boduk umanusa. Not boduk umanusa mean tried and tested. Ein skula katera. Mishum mitchazek or belimut teira or bachzokas teira. I've heard of Kornfeld say, and when she said a gua there, when I heard it too. He has three supporters of his kollel. One of them I know, two of them I don't. He said all three of them, since they've begun supporting his kollel, all of them have seen their business go through the roof in profits. Mamash. Million. Ein skula katera. Ein skula teira. If someone's mischazek in limoteira, then I'll see his Yeshua is skula is. We don't have to go for the fancy schmancy. Skula is. Ein skula katera, where that person learns a bit harder, where that person is supports teira in a difficult way. It's become very much, this is the theme of the month. Zay Yisod Shel HaChodesh has been a big campaign for Sorotskin 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I think yesterday, Be'ayom, for Yisachar Be'alecho, the Gros Shul are running, Bet Knesset HaGro Be'alef, Mokum Teira, Vamash, Lo Yuman, unbelievable. They've got a big campaign, and Yom Melech, I'm telling you, though I have not been asked by Yom and Freilich to run a campaign for the Gros, but I'm telling you, anybody who is mechazek, others learning Torah, mechazek himself, you see Yeshua is boduk umanusa, boduk umanusa. Every one of us, kol echad meitanu, everyone needs Yeshua. You know anybody who doesn't need Yeshua? Everybody there, whether it's in shalom bayis, whether it's in parnosa, whether it's chinuch hayelodim, whether it's in health, whether it's in gashmias, in ruach, everyone needs their thing. So obviously we daven, but the more one connects, כמה שיותר מתחברים לתירה, לימוד תירה, או החזוק הסתירה, בודוק ומנוסה, בודוק ומנוסה. Somebody knocked on my door last night, שהוא פה בשכונה, he's not from our קהילה, אתה לא מכיר אותו. I have a cash with him, he says, you have a kill, I want to be a חלק in your kill. אני רוצה להיות שותף, אני אקח אברך לשנה. לא ביקשתי ממנו, I didn't ask him anything, just dropped off an envelope of several thousand shekels. I said to him, אני מחכה על טלפון. I'm waiting for a phone call from you to tell me that you saw Siyata Deshmaya completely unexpected. Completely unexpected. This is not a fundraising campaign. The MS is not a fundraising campaign. It's a chizuk. And I'm not even talking about money. Lemu Teira. Anything to do with Teira. Eight Chayim Hi. Lamachazikim Bo. Machzik Teira. How you machzik Teira. Either you support others learning, or you mischazik in your own learning. It's Eitz Chaim. That's how he is. En derech acher. En derech acher. En derech acher. There's no other way. There's no other way. Ein segula katera. Moshe was in Zeret. Mi shelo mamin, tedaber Rav Nachum. Hu yechazek otcha. Mazal tov, Rav Nachum.
That's
the main thing. The truth is, that was always my dream. That was my dream. My dream that people should have a mokum teira to come to. If this place would have a kollel in the morning, then he wouldn't come here to learn. He's not going to come and turn the lights on and learn by himself and then walk out. Not very Shmatzis. Create a Mokim Torah, and then you create somewhere where you want to be part of. Whichever shul or kehila or atmosphere you belong to, it's so, so important. The more one connects to Torah, the more siyata d'shmaya you have, which of course brings us back to Purim. Why does it bring us back to Purim? Because the most unexpected, the most remarkable miracle of all was Purim. It was all a nistar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, how many times does it appear in the Megillah?
Zero.
Why? Because it was all hidden. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was running the whole show from the first word till the last word, but he didn't see it clearly. So what brought about the Siyata Dishmaya? What does it say in the Gemara? What happened on Purim? They were makabel Torah mechadash. Ayudim hoisa oira, oira zu Torah. It says they were makabel Torah once at Har Sinai, and they were makabel it again, be'ava, on Purim. Makabel Torah, you have Siyata Dishmaya. I don't see it. In the most remarkable way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will orchestrate it and bring it about. So, that's really the theme of the month. Be'emes, the theme of the month. I'm just sharing with you two conversations I had within the space of 3 days. Thursday night, Sunday morning. Be'ez Hashem. Okay, I think we should continue. Like I said, a guy knocked on my door last night. I want to take an avrik for a month. I turned on my computer this morning. After being bombarded by all the grower emails, I saw there was another email. So I sifted through all the grower emails. That took about half an hour. So read Ramesh Zelig's letter, and Potash's letter, and Revival Wise's letter. All three of them absolutely beautiful. And I see another email. Guy that also chose cash with, completely unexpected, he said, yeah, I want to get 1,000 shekel a month to your koyel from now on. Without any rhyme or reason, so that Torah brings Siyata D'shmaya for further Torah. So we're now considering Be'ez Hashem, we're considering very, very strongly expanding to the afternoon as well. We have a morning koyel at the moment. Afternoon, yeah. Wherever you are, whether you're Mishkafayim or Ma Aleph or Ish Kodesh or the Gro or whatever Darach Yitzchak, that's the greatest school we can be involved with. Chazak Torah, our own Torah, and other people's Torah. So, whilst we're on the subject of Torah, we're in the middle of a very, very geshmaka sugya on that Nun, Dalet, Omed, Beis. Now, if you remember from last time, it's a bit of a complicated cheshbon. So let's just very, very briefly recap where we're up to. The story thus far. We had a question. The Mishnah said, what's the most amount of tekiyas that you can have? 48. The Gemara said, I don't understand. What happened to Erev Pesach Shechal B'Shabbos? You can have much more than 48. How many? 51, 57. What was the Gemara's answer? No. That doesn't get into the Mishnah. Why not? Because it doesn't happen every year. What do you mean? Erev Shabbos, which is Sukkos, which is mentioned in the Mishnah, that also doesn't happen every year. What do you mean doesn't happen every year? Of course it does. No, it doesn't. Because if the first day of Yom Tov is Friday, there's no Simchas Beis HaSheva. Therefore, even though, of course, there'll always be an Erev Shabbos every Sukkos, but there won't always be 48. So how can you possibly tell me that we're very particular? Only to mention in the Mishnah annual occurrences. It's not true. So the Gemara said, no. It is true. What about first day Yom Tov on Friday? Can't happen. Why can't it happen? Because if ever there was a prospect of the first day of Rosh Hashanah, which would mean in turn also the first day of Sukkot being on a Friday, what would Beis Din do?
Add a day.
Why would they do that? Why would they be Ma'aber Elul? Why would they do that?
Because Yom Kippur up to Sunday.
Because we don't want Yom Kippur on a Sunday. Why don't we want Yom Kippur on a Sunday? So Rashi said, look in the Gemara on Shabbos, either for the food going off or because of the maize. Either way, we don't want Yom Kippur on a Sunday. Now, if Rosh Hashanah and in turn Sukkot is on a Friday, then when will Yom Kippur be?
Sunday.
We don't want that. So if ever there was a prospect of Rosh Hashanah landing out on Friday, we'd always push it off by one day, such that Rosh Hashanah would not be on a Friday, and rather it would be on Rabbanos, Yom Kippur, Chal, Motzei Shabbos. And then we had a discussion about when Yom Kippur is a Motzei Shabbos, you make Abdallah. The question being, so you see quite clearly that you can have Yom Kippur on Sunday, Motzei Shabbos Sunday. Well, if that's the case, then we're back to square one. Why are we back to square one? It's like the dominoes game. You knock one down, everything falls down. If Yom Kippur can be on a Sunday, then Rosh Hashanah can be on a Friday. And if Rosh Hashanah can be on a Friday, then Sukkot can be on a Friday. And if Sukkot can be on a Friday, then you won't have 48 necessarily every year. And if the Mishnah still mentioned it, you see that we're even happy to mention cases that don't happen every year. In which case, Chag Gad Yom, back to square one. Except for why didn't you mention Erev Pesach, Shechal B'Shabbos? You see all the stages? We're all going back to Erev Pesach, Shechal B'Shabbos. The only answer we had to Erev Pesach, Shechal B'Shabbos is you're right that there's more than 48, but that doesn't qualify for the Mishnah because it's not an annual event. So we need to work out whether our Mishnah is really being strict in only mentioning annual events or not. And if it turns out we have two sources to suggest that we're more than happy for Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot to be on a Friday, then we are in big, big trouble. What's the Gemara's answer? This is where we left off with on Thursday. We're going to see today, you're right and you're wrong. Meaning, there's a machlokes. It's machlokes, there's two opinions, so don't be upset. Our Mishnah only mentions annual events. Sukkot being on a Friday, Rosh Hashanah being on a Friday, it can't happen. That's the opinion of our Mishnah. What did you ask? That I've got two sources to suggest that what? That it can happen? That's a different opinion. In other words, it's all very simple. Can you have Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot on a Friday? In turn, can you have Yom Kippur on a Sunday? One word answer, machlokes. Our Mishnah says, no, you cannot. And the other two sources that we brought before say that you can. But there's no point in trying to resolve the two, it's just a machlokes. That's the Gemara, that's where we're up to. Have a look at the second last narrow line of the Gemara. The Gemara says, loy. It's not difficult at all. It's not difficult at all. Why? Ho rabbonon, ho achirim. You have it, the second narrow line? Ho rabbonon, ho achirim. Have a look at Rashi. Rashi's on the sixth wide line. Ho rabbonon, ho achirim. Masnis, sorry.
Must not count the Rashi line so fast.
You know the one with the sheep and the sheep's legs? We've said that before, no? It's just that dog. The professor was in a field looking, he saw the massive flock of sheep, there were hundreds and hundreds of sheep. Didn't know how many they were. So he asked this uncultured, uneducated, illiterate farmer, how many sheep have you got here? He said, let me just see. 427. Wow, how did you count them so quick? He said, oh, it's easy. I just counted all the legs and divided by four. Simple as that. Yeah, on the sixth wide line, it's not so hard to count the things. They say that Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin, heard of Mariel Diskin? They say it is phenomenal kayak. If I were to ask you, how many sforim can you see on this table? Or, look at this. How many items do you see in front of you? One. Okay. How many now? Two. How many now? Three. So as soon as you see it, you can see three. If there'd be 12 of them, you wouldn't just look at it and say 12. You'd say one, two, three, four. It's a count. If you see three, you don't really count. You just see three. Most people can go up to about three or four or maybe even five, but after that you have to start counting it. They say in the name of Mariel Diskin was a Goyen Adi. He looked at a tree, he had one glance, and how many leaves were on the tree. And he heard of the Chabina Rov. Chabina Rov, a Goyen Olam, he was married to my great grandfather's sister. But he had bigger claims to fame than that. And you call out Irakuli, he was an Ulu Otsen. I never told you the story about the store that wiped the numbers off the wall. Two people came to the Chabina Rov. He said, we have a big shaila lahalocha. We don't know what to do. What's the question? He said, I own a store. And people come into my store every so often and they buy whatever they buy. And they don't necessarily pay me on the spot, which is fine. And we keep a record of how much they owe me. And at the end of the month, we tally it all up and they pay. Now, where do I keep my records? This is pre-smartphone, iPhone. He says, I have a wall over here, my big white wall. And I write a number here, you know, he owes me 5 rubles. And then Shimon comes in, 6 rubles. And Ruben comes back, Ruben owes me another 3. And all the wall is covered with all these numbers. At the end of the month, fine, I look for all the Rubens. Ruben, now there's 3, and there's 4, and there's 7, and there's 2.5. And I add all up and he pays me. So what's the shaila? He said, well, I don't know what to do, because he said, just yesterday we had a cleaning lady came to our shop and she cleaned the wall off. So the wall is now glistening white, but she's deleted all the records. I have no way of knowing how much in fact is owed to me. Big shaila. So, you know, he's fully prepared to pay me however much he owes, but I genuinely don't know. So Shmini Rav said, that's not a problem at all. It's not a problem. Yeah, it's very simple. He owes you whatever, 64.5 rubles. Okay, if you say so. And how did you know? He said, I happened to be in your store yesterday just before the cleaning lady, and I noticed 64.5. That's all written in the wall. He had a photographic memory, obviously. I'll call upon him. 6th line. Sorry, Rav Nachum. Ho Rabbonon, ho Acherim. Mas Nisin Rabbonon. Our Mishnah is the opinion of the Rabbonon, the Pligi, who argue ad Acherim. They argue with Acherim, v'omri, and they say, Ma'abrin HaChodesh, whose day? The Rabbonon say that what? You expand the Chodesh and you push off so that Rosh Hashanah will never be on a Friday. Why? Because we don't want Yom Kippur on a Sunday. The Omri, they say, Ma'abrin HaChodesh L'Tzeirech. We'll be Ma'abrin. What does the word Ma'abrin mean, by the way? Literally means impregnate. Becomes fattened. The month will become fattened. Like this year is a Shana Mu'uberes. They say that you can be Ma'aba the Chodesh Letzoyrech if indeed the necessity arises. Hilkoch, therefore, Rosh Hashanah, the Erev Shabbos, Loi Mikla, can never happen. If you hold your Ma'aba the Chodesh Letzoyrech, then what? Rosh Hashanah on a Friday can never happen. Why not? Because we'd always push it off and make sure that it jolly well doesn't happen. And all those brises that you brought in the Gemara, the Omri Mikla, all those brises that seem to suggest that it does happen. Because remember, they spoke about Yom Kippur on a Sunday. V'loy omrinon dochinon, comma. And they clearly did not hold you, push it off. Who's talking there? Acherim. It's Acherim. The Omri, they say, Ein, underline, Ein ma'abrim es achoydesh letzairech. Do you have a machloikas? Ma'abrim or Ein ma'abrim? If you hold Ein Ma'abrim, what does that basically mean that you hold about the Jewish calendar? That it's fixed. 29, 30, you exactly know which month has how many days. There's no such thing as tampering with the calendar. So therefore, if indeed the calendar is fixed, what does that mean the calendar is fixed? 29, 30, 29, 30. So then, yes, indeed, it might well be in the law of statistics. Yeah. Rosh Hashanah will fall out from time to time on Friday. There's nothing to do about it, and Yom Kippur will be on a Sunday. Our Mishnah, however, that we insisted, holds that Rosh Hashanah can not be on a Friday. Either law of statistics says it will. You're right. that this is the Rabbanon, and the Rabbanon say that we will never allow it to fall on Friday. Why? Because we're mi'aba the chodesh letzayrach. What does it mean letzayrach? Only the zesty. We don't just go around making around this one have a month of 78 days. We'll add the extra day if there's a necessity. Yom Kippur not falling on a Sunday is considered a necessity. So therefore, everything is just fine and dandy. Why is it fine and dandy? Because it turns out, can Rosh Hashanah be on a Friday? According to the Rabbonon, no, it cannot. According to Acherim, yes, it can. And in turn, can Yom Kippur be on a Sunday? That's the same machlokes. If Rosh Hashanah could be on a Friday, obviously Yom Kippur could be on a Sunday. So therefore, if we stop here for a moment, are we good or are we not good? We're good according to the Rabbonon. Who is our Mishnah? It's the Rabbonon. The opinion of our Mishnah is that Rosh Hashanah can never fall out on a Friday. So that Yom Kippur shouldn't fall on a Sunday. In turn, can the first day of Sukkot be on a Friday? No! Because it's obviously 2 weeks after Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, our Mishnah is very good. When the Mishnah said that Erev Shabbos, which is Sukkot, says 48, is that an annual event? Yes! It is an annual event. Why is it an annual event? Because you'll never have a Friday first day Yom Tov. In theory, if you have a Friday first day Yom Tov, yeah, then there wouldn't be 48 because of this Sukkot with Sheva. So worry, it can never happen. Why can it never happen? Because we won't allow it to happen. But we bought two braces that say that it can happen. Shkayach, that's a different opinion. Which opinion is that? The opinion of Achim. Fine. Now, what is this opinion of Achim? Where have we ever seen the opinion of Achim? Says the Gemara, D'Tanya. Because we have a braisa, and it says, Achirim Oimrim. Achirim say, Ein Bein Atzeres La Atzeres, Ve'ein Bein Rosh Hashanah La Rosh Hashanah, Elo Arbo Yomim Bilvad. There will never be between one Rosh Hashanah and the next, or one Shavuos and the next, a gap of anything but 4 days. What does that mean, 4 days? It means if Rosh Hashanah this year, in theory, is on a Tuesday, then you know that next year Rosh Hashanah will be on a Shabbos. And the year after that?
4 days, Wednesday.
Wednesday. And the year after that? Sunday, etc., etc., etc. There's always a four day in the week, difference between one Rosh Hashanah and the other. And he said in conclusion, V'im, Chaisal, Shana, Mu'uberes. And if the Shana was a Mu'uberes, wasn't in the Shana Mu'uberes, like this year, you have Adar Sheni, then Chamisha. Now, how do you get to this cheshbon? So let's just mention it, we'll explain it, and then we'll see how Rashi explains it. If you hold that you're not ma'aber the chodesh letzeirech, the word letzeirech over here is the optimum word. Why is it the optimum word? Because ein ma'abrim the chodesh letzeirech doesn't mean that we're not ma'aber the chodesh ever. Of course we are. Every second month we are. But other than that, we never ever ma'aber the chodesh just out of necessity. Which means you will always have the following series: 30, 29, 30, 29, 30, 29, 30, 29, again and again and again and again. Now, 30, is that considered mu'ubar? Yes. 30 is considered mu'ubar. Why do we do this, by the way? So, as Rashi is going to explain to us, because essentially, how long is a month?
29 and a half.
So you can't have a half day. So if you do 1 month 29 and 1 month 30, then you're sorted out. Now, let's make a very simple cheshbon. It's very, very simple to work out. If you have 29 and a half, which, how are we going to get there? By having a 29 month and then a 30 month, that's 59 days over the course of 2 months, which is 29 and a half on average per month. So how many days will that give you per year?
354.
It'll give you exactly 354. How'd you get to that cheshbon? Very simple. Imagine every month would be 30 days. If every month would be 30 days, then it would be, every chodesh would be mole, and then it would be 30 times 12, which is 360. But because we're learning over here that we're odd, the half of them only get 29, so we've lost how many days? 6 from 360, so we get that every shana is 354. Simple as that. Okay, one more line of the cheshbon. How many days are there of the week? 7. So if I would have 50 weeks in the year, 50 times 7 would get me to 350. But we just said, how long is the year?
354.
So that's how we get to the cheshbon. From one Rosh Hashanah to another, it will always be 4 days later in the week. Because every year, according to this opinion, is 50 weeks and 4 days. And the next year, 50 weeks and 4 days. And the next year, every year, 50 weeks and 4 days. So therefore, Rosh Hashanah, two successive Rosh Hashanahs, obviously can't be on the same day as the week. It will be 4 days later. If you have a Shana Mu'uberes, how long is the Shana Mu'uberes? The Adar Sheni, is it 29 or is it 30? It's 29. As we're going to see in a moment. If it's 29, 29 is what? 4 weeks and a day. So therefore, I've got a remainder of 5. So it's no longer 50 weeks and 4 days. It's actually 54 weeks and 5 days. That's what Acherim meant. Very simply, when he said, between every Rosh Hashanah, until the next Rosh Hashanah is 4 day gap, unless it's a Shana Mu'uberes, then you'll have a 5 day gap. Now, what do I see from that opinion?
There's no manipulation.
There's no manipulation. Exactly. That's what we want. That's what we're looking for. This is Acherim's way of telling us that there's no such concept of being Ma'aber the Chodesh L'Tzeirach. Because if there was, then what? Then how can you possibly give me this cast iron rule that Rosh Hashanah is always 4 days apart? How do you know? Maybe you'll add a day here and there. Shlomo Beres is 5. How do you know? There's no fixed rule. According to the Rabbanon, what's the difference between the two Rosh Hashanahs? We don't know. Depends on how many months that year happened to be Mu'u Beres. And what will that depend on? If there's a Terech. If Bezdin decided there's a Terech here and there to add the extra day, then obviously that will push off Rosh Hashanah the next year by a day, or by 2 days, or by three. Therefore, you can't present a rule. According to the Rabbanon, there's no rule. But if Acherim gave me this cast iron rule, 4 day gap, 4 day gap, 4 day gap, I see one thing from Acherim, that the calendar is fixed. Says Rashi on the 8th wide line, Elo Arbo'o Yomim Bilvat. Says Rashi, Im Zeh Ve'echod B'Shabbos. If, what does Zeh mean? This what? If this year it was on Echod B'Shabbos, what was on Echod B'Shabbos? Rosh Hashanah, for example, then Yochul, it will fall L'shona Habo'o B'chamishi B'Shabbos. If this year it was on the first day of the week, Sunday, then the next year you can be rest assured that when will it fall out? On the fifth day, Dahainu Arbo'o Yomim. That is exactly 4 days. That is the cheshbon. Now, says Rashi, how do you get to that 4 days? So Rashi says, what we just said before, V'zeh Haseida, this is the order of events. I will now explain to you, says Rashi, how it is you get to the 4 day rule. Lafi Moilad Levono. This is the Seder, Lafi the Moilad. What does the Moilad mean? The occurrence. What's literally a translation of Moilad? The birth. Like Noilad or Leder. Yelet. This is the cheshbon lefi moilad levonahu, shebein moilad lemoilad. from moilad to moilad, meaning from month to month, the birth of the new moon, how much is there? How much time elapses? Estrim, v'teisha yom, 29 days, umechza, and a half. Which means, l'shnei moildois, so I have two successive births of the moon, that will be altogether chamishim v'tisha. 29 and a half times 2 is 59. Nimtza, it therefore turns out, how I need to get 59 days per 2 months. How do you do that? Very simple. Mole chosem, mole chosem, mole chosem, mole chosem. How much is a mole? 30. And a chosem is 29. Perfect. So 30 and 29 is 59. Nimtza kol chodshe hashana. It therefore will turn out that all the months of the year, how will they be set up? Echod mole, the echod chosem. One full, one lacking. One full, one mole, one chosem. One mole, one chosem. That's fixed. And then you get 59 days every single 2 months. That's exactly what we're looking for. V'acherim sevir lehu. Acherim hold the ein ma'abrim. You do not expand. The ein machastrin. Neither do you retract. Shum chodesh. Any single month, l'seirach. I don't care what the necessity is, the calendar is fixed. Neither do you convert a 29 into a 30, nor do you convert a 30 into a 29. Elo, koivim. What does koivim mean? Fix. We fixed roshei chadoshim, echad, mole. Ve'echot chaser le'olam keywords. What does le'olam mean? Forever. There's no tampering. There's no such thing as a 29 becoming a 30. There's no such thing as a 30 becoming a 29. It's fixed. 30, 29. Mole chaser, mole chaser, mole chaser, mole chaser le'olam. Nimtza. It will therefore turn out that bein Pesach lePesach, or any other Yom Tov for that matter, will always be Dalet Yomim. You'd always have a difference of 4 days. Why? How do you know that? Very simple, says Rashi. Because we just said that we have Shisha, 6 months, which are Maleim. That means 40, 30 days. For Shisha, Chaserim. And 6 short months. What does that get you to? Shalosh Meyos. 300 v'chamishim and 50 v'arbo'im yoim. What is 350 days? Says Rashi, 354 days, which is hein shalosh meyos v'chamishim yoim. 350 days is what? Chamishim shavuos, exactly 50 weeks. And how many days are remaining? Nimtzu dalet yesterim. That's how you'll end up with 4 extra bein kviyas shana zu lekviyas shana haba. Between the fixing of this year and that year, you'll always have a difference of how many days? 40. Very, very simple cheshbon. The year is 354, which is another way of saying 50 weeks and 4 remaining days. So Rosh Hashanah this year is on a Sunday, and next year it will be on a Thursday. And if next year is on a Thursday, then the year after that will be on a Monday. And the year after that will be on a Friday, and it will never change. Except in one occurrence, says Rashi, then it'll be chamisha. How'd you get to that? The kosovar, because he holds the chodesh ha'ibur. What is the chodesh ha'ibur? Adar sheni. The extra month, meaning the adar sheni, la'olam chosem. Is always chosem. I mean, how many days would it be? 29. So Rashi does the mathematics for you again. Estrim v'shmoyne yomim shaloi. 28 of it is arba'ah shvuos, is 4 weeks. Nimtso, it turns out, therefore, yorim echod yeser, you have 1 extra day. I always had how many extras? 4. In the event of a leap year, you'd have an extra 1. Therefore, tenehu, give that extra day, al arba'o yomim shebashona pshuta, add that additional day to the 4 extras that you always have in a shana pshuta. What's a shana pshuta? In a simple regular year, and what will you get to, says Rashi, hare chamisha. That's how you get to the magic number 5.
There's 28 days?
No, it's 29 days. Says Rashi, how do you break down those 29? Rashi says, the chedesh chasem. Take 28.
This is Esrim
v'shmoni yomim sheloi. 28 of those 29. Okay. That's 4 weeks. That's a round number. And how many days will you have left over? One. So it's 4 remainder 1, as they used to tell us in school. Normally you have 50 remainder 4. On a leap year you have 54 remainder 5. Because you have an extra 1 to play with. Right. So really, that's the end of this sugya. In other words, if I want to know the principle that we established before, is it really true that Rosh Hashanah cannot be on a Friday and you can manipulate it? The answer is one word: machlokes. The Rabbanon say we manipulate. That's the opinion of our Mishnah. We had other sources that seem to suggest that you can have Yom Kippur on a Sunday. And who's talking there? Achirim. Achirim says no manipulation. Everything is absolutely rigid, steadfast, fixed. 30, 29, 30, 29, 30, 29, 30, 29. Lahavdil, elef, alfei, havdolei. The Arab calendar, the Muslim calendar, is not tampered with. They don't have an extra month that we have a Shana Mu'ubar. Why do we have a Shana Mu'ubar? Why do we have Adar Shana? Because we need to have some events of the year at particular times. For example, the most famous, you have to have Chodesh Aviv, the spring. That's when Pesach is. So if you don't add the extra month, you're going to end up on occasion that Pesach will come earlier and earlier, or later than later. There's a few other events, that's one of them. Now, the Islam calendar, they do not manipulate, they have a fixed calendar. Which means, for example, when they have their Ramadan, which month of the year is Ramadan? It can end up all different, sometimes the summer, sometimes the winter, there's no fixed rules. Because it's rigid, and if it's rigid, it can come out any month, any time, any day. Whereas with us, there's no such thing as by mistake Pesach ended up in the winter. No such thing. It can't happen. Because if ever there was a prospect of that happening, what would you do?
Yeah, yeah.
You always add it. Now, if we're on the subject of mathematics, the spring is dependent on what? On the sun or the moon? On the sun. How many days in the solar year? 365. How many days in the lunar year, as we just mentioned? 354. Which means, how many days are we short every year, lunar to solar? 11 days.
Or 12. Once every 4 years.
Okay, you're right. But let's call it 11. So, strictly speaking, the easiest way to ensure that Pesach would be in the spring is just to add 11 days every year to the calendar. But you can't do that. Because it's in blocks of months, either 29 or 30. It's got to be a chedesh sheni. So we need to, every so often, add 1 month, but it needs to work out at multiples of 11. Because really, we're 11 days short. So you ready for the math? Nachum? Over the course of 19 years, we have a 19-year calendar. Do you know this? We have a 19-year calendar. Very, very simple. Always you think it's very, very complicated. It's dead simple. We're running at a loss of 11 days, a shortfall of 11 days every year.
over the course of 19 years, we'll have 19 times 11. What's 19 times 11? Very simple. What's 19 times 10? 190. Plus another 19 is 209. We'll call that 210 for argument's sake. Over the course of 19 years, do you agree we're losing 210 days? It's actually 209 days. Agreed?
Okay.
If I tell you that we're running at a shortfall of 210 days, now split that up into months. How many months can you get into 209 or 210 days? 7. Because the month is, let's say again, keep the numbers round for the moment. The month is 30 days, 7 times 30 is 210. That's where we have the magic number. We have 7 leap years in every 19 years. Because if you add 7 months every 19 years, instead of adding 11 years every year, 11 days every year, which we can't do, if you work out the mathematics, if you add 7 months over the course of 19 years, that's exactly how you make up the shortfall.
But the other base is only 29, not 30.
That's what I'm saying. So we had a bit to play with. It's not exactly 210, it's 209. But that's how the threshold works. So really, we have a 19-year cycle. Now again, further mathematics, again, it's very, very simple. 7 does not really go into 19. 19 is not divisible by 7. So if we were to ask, well, how often do we have a leap year? We can't say it's every 2 years, every 3 years, because it's just not. It's 7 out of 19, which means it would be every second year or every third year. You can never go more than 3 years without having a leap year. And that sounds simple. That's how I count it. As simple as that. 7 out of 19 years, you add the extra month, the 29 or the 30, you'll make up a shortfall of approximately 210 days. Which is how much we lose out on the lunar calendar with regard to the solar calendar. That's why we have 7 leap years in 19 years.
So every 19 years, the same English and the Hebrew date will be the
exactly.
same.
Yeah, that's why we always taught in school, that when does your Hebrew and English birthday fall out on the same day? Every 19 years. So when you're 19, 38, 57, 76, you should have the English symbol. I remember all very excited. I got to my, I heard this one, got to my 19th birthday, it didn't work out, it was a day out. I was all worried. Maybe I was adopted after all, so I don't know. The answer is because I was apparently born on Friday night. So why does that change things? So you're born on Friday night, the English day is still today, but the Hebrew day is tomorrow. My 19th and 38th and 57th birthday should be a day out. If it's 2 days out, then I really was adopted.
I'll speak to your folks.
Yeah, I'll speak to my guys. My father always used to tell my sister, she said, well, where's my birthday? She always said, well, I don't know. You know the cornflakes boxes, and they always get like a promotional offer. Well, we once got you free with a cornflakes box, so we don't know when you were born. All right, we need to be Ador spirits, Baruch Hashem, very, very good Shmaka Gemara. But you know what the big lesson of this all is? The lesson of this all is, like all of Torah, the more superficial one learns, the less enjoyable it is. So I would tell you, okay, you know, every 7 years, and 19 years, and then 36, 29, and then it's all very dry. So when you learn it from the sources, it all has so much more meaning. It's not just numbers, it's not just remembering a phone book off by heart. Oh, 7, 19, 29, 30. You learn the Gemara, you see the Rashi, the numbers all add up. It's a whole picture, it's very beautiful, very easy to remember, and more geschmack. So when you don't learn from the sources, it just becomes like a list of facts. Yeah, this is Mutter, and this is Asa, and this is 5, and this is 8, and this is 12, and this is 5, and this is Potter, and this is Tomer. Why? No idea. No explanation. It loses the whole time. You learn the Rashi, the Gemara, and the Cheshbonos, you learn it slowly, and everything's exactly organize the meat, 7 and 19, almost perfect sense. It's not complicated at all. Make the cheshbon, it makes sense. Okay, everybody, be well.
Have a shiloh.
More in here. Talks about.